I'm grateful for each one who's here this evening, but I especially appreciate the men who have helped us in our service tonight, especially the last three. And Paul, I don't mean to leave you out, except you'll understand why in a minute. But John Rickard served as an elder in Tullahoma while I was there for about 8 years, and then has served as an elder here, and has been a close friend of mine now for over 20 years. Dal Flatt, of course, has been associated with my family, and he and I were together in high school and then here at Freed Hardeman. Milton Tucker was in our class here at Freed Hardeman. In fact, I think I can count five ladies that are either here tonight or at least have been here sometime today who were in that class. At least eight, maybe one more that were in that class or members here or worship here. Some like Dal and Milton preach at other places. I respect Dal and Milton a great deal for what they teach, but especially for what they are. And I'm just thankful to be associated with men like these that I've known for years and years, and to have them participate in the service tonight. We just sang, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus." And I hope that all of us truly meant that when we sang it. I've been requested tonight by one group to keep the sermon short. About 35 of the Sunshine Singers here tonight who've been on a 10-day trip, and they indicated that if I heard any snoring, it might be one of them. But there have been so many of you that have been out of town that it might be somebody else. And we're just glad that they have made a successful trip and that they are back, and that so many of the students are back and so many of the rest of you are back. Do we really mean it when we say, "I have decided to follow Jesus"? Tonight, for just a few minutes, I want us to think about a passage in Luke 9 that is a passage that says somewhat the same things that were in the passage that Milton read from Matthew 16. There are three fellows described in Luke 9, beginning at verse 57, who either said to Jesus, "I will follow thee," or had Jesus ask each one to follow him. And I believe as we look at these three tonight and sort of analyze them a bit, that it will help us to understand what it really means to follow Jesus. It came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, "Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." Jesus said unto him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." And he said to another, "Follow me." And he said, "Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father." Jesus said unto him, "Let the dead bury the dead," or their dead, "but go thou and preach the kingdom of God." And another said, "Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house." And Jesus said unto him, "No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Folks, it is one thing to say, "I will follow Jesus," and yet it is another thing to really follow Jesus in every sense of the word. I would imagine that if you were to go out on the streets of our town tomorrow and ask everybody that you met, "Are you following Jesus?" that there would be a high percentage of the people to whom you would speak who would say yes. I would guess even if you went to Nashville or Memphis and asked the same question, that most of the people would say yes. I would even venture a guess that if you were to go to a place like New York City and begin to talk to people there in a setting that's somewhat different from where you and I live and ask each person, "Are you following Jesus?" that there would be a great percentage of the people, a high number of them at least, who would say yes. Are we really following Jesus? Is every person who claims to follow Jesus really following him? Let's look at these six verses, two of which really are used to describe each of the three men in this story, and think about the subject of following Jesus. I believe the first man, in a sense, said, "I will follow thee with a blind faith." Jesus, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Jesus evidently recognized that this man had not really thought the process through, that perhaps he had not really considered all that was involved in following Jesus. And so he answered him with that statement, "You need to realize that the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man, the one that you say you will follow whithersoever he goes, doesn't even have a place to pillow his head." In other words, have you really thought this through? Have you really stopped to consider what it means to follow Jesus? Certainly there is something good about this fellow, in that he seemingly has a quick reaction to the presence of Jesus, and maybe even before he is asked, volunteers, "I'm willing to follow where you go. In fact, I'll go with you wherever you go." This man seems to have had somewhat of a blind faith. At least Jesus indicates that he had not really looked at the situation. He had not measured it. He had not considered it. And knowing that, Jesus knew that if he did not consider what was involved, he might very well not last. As I read about this man, I am reminded of the situation in the parable of the sower, where some of the seed fell on shallow ground. An indication is that it came up very quickly. There was a quick response. But it did not last, because it did not have its roots down in the ground. And as the events began to unfold, it was choked out. It didn't have the roots to get the sustenance that was needed and to have the stamina that was needed, and so it did not grow right and did not last. Jesus has that idea in mind as he speaks to this man, and he's saying, you need more than a shallow faith. You need more than just a faith that says, "Oh, I'll go wherever you go." This man evidently was interested in following Jesus without really thinking about the effort. He may have been one who had put little thought to it to really think through and see what was involved. He may have very well have been one who, like many that we seemingly see today, who was not interested in making any decisions for himself, but just sort of said, "Jesus, you take it and go with it, and whatever there is, I'm with you, I'm behind you, I'll follow you wherever you go." And it was Jesus who said, "You need to stop and think about this. You need to stop and consider it." Jesus knew there was a strong possibility if a person started following him without really stopping and thinking it through and having a faith that was based upon the Word of God and based upon the facts, that he might not last. And Jesus wanted him to think about it. You remember the story over in Luke 14, beginning at verse 28, where two different types of people are described in an area that we sometimes talk about as counting the cost. He says, if you're going to build a tower, you first sit down and count the cost, lest haply you begin to build that and you don't finish it. You stop somewhere along the way. And then he used the example of a person going to war. And he said, is he just going to go out there and be ready to fight without sizing up his enemy and thinking about his own forces? Jesus said, anything that's going to be successful has to be something that is planned, something where there is some thought put to it. We have a tendency in many areas of life to think more about the benefits than we do the responsibilities. How many times have we found ourselves having purchased an item because a good salesman showed us all the benefits and maybe minimized the payments, and then found out later that we were going to have to, as the song said, a dollar down and a dollar a week instead of it's more than that, 60 months payments for an automobile. All we thought about on the front end was how nice that looked and how we wanted it and all the benefits it would do for us. But we did not stop and think about the cost that was involved. I remember back when Judy and I were in our early 20s, there was a salesman who came to our house, and I wasn't as smart then as I am now. That may not be saying much, but I listened and I bit. We purchased something that we got some use out of, but in the overall sense of the word, we really didn't need it. And even after we had used it entirely, we were still making payments on it for several months. There was at least one benefit in that. I think I learned a lesson from it. I think I learned to sit down and look at the overall situation and what is involved in it a bit more after that happened. And I have made up my mind that as I have an opportunity to talk to young folks today, especially young married folks, that I'm going to try to share with them some of those ideas. And I believe it fits into this. It is so easy for us to say, oh, I'm going to follow Jesus. Wherever he wants me to go, I'll go. I'll be right there, without sitting down and counting the cost and recognizing that there are some responsibilities involved in following Jesus. Benefits, great. Outstanding, wonderful. We ought to be so thankful for those benefits that come to us from following Jesus. But I don't believe that Jesus ever wanted anybody to follow him with a blind faith. Trust in him. And in those areas where we don't understand, place our trust in him. But you'll notice that the entire life of Jesus, from the first to the last, was centered around the concept of teaching. And you will realize that the Bible says that the faith that is produced is to be based upon the teaching of God's word. It's not just a blind faith. And as we ask people to accept Christ in an invitation in a service like this, as we go out into the community, as we go to other countries and teach about Jesus Christ, we ought not to expect anybody to just blindly follow Christ. We ought to be able to give them the reasons, and we have them, and to show them what is involved and help them to understand. There had to be teaching in the Great Commission before there was obedience. Of course, there was teaching afterwards also, but there had to be teaching, understanding. How can there be belief if there is not some understanding of Jesus? So this first fellow gives us an example of one who says, well, I'll just follow you, Lord, with a blind faith. Whatever it is, I'll take off. Jesus said, better stop and look at the situation. He certainly was not discouraging him in any way, but he was encouraging him to understand not only the benefits but the responsibilities. Then there is the second fellow. Jesus said to this fellow, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. The language there seems to indicate that his father was still alive, and that he was saying, listen, I've got a responsibility to my father. Let me take care of him and bury him. Maybe he had in mind take care of his estate. And when I get all that done, then I'll follow you. Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. Perhaps meaning let those who are not Christians, who won't follow me, take care of these earthly responsibilities, and you follow me and preach the kingdom of God. As I read that, I'm reminded of Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things shall be added unto you. And it seems to me that this second fellow in this story is one who was saying, Jesus, I'll follow you after I take care of my earthly responsibilities. Now, certainly Jesus would not encourage anybody to shirk his earthly responsibility. He would want a husband to be a faithful husband. He would want a wife to be a faithful wife. He would want parents to be good parents. He would want the employer, the one in charge on the job, to take care of his responsibility. He wants those in fact, there is just ample teaching, both in the teaching of Jesus and others who taught in the Bible, that we are to accept our earthly responsibilities, but not before we accept the responsibility to follow Christ and the opportunity to follow Christ. Jesus is not teaching in this passage that it is wrong for us to be concerned about giving our parents or anybody else the proper honorable burial. But he is saying, evidently knowing the heart of this man, you're more interested in taking care of your earthly responsibilities than you are in following me. And all of us may have some problems along that line. I have known of people personally who said, I know the truth, I know what I ought to do, but I've got something in my business that I want to take care of, and I cannot give up enough time in order to follow Jesus. Or I've got some responsibilities in my family, and I just don't want to leave those